This is Pastor Sam Bryan from the Vestavia Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm exceedingly thankful for the opportunity to speak to our church family today by means of modern technology. I'm thankful that Elder Josh Coker in our church has the equipment needed for this ministry and knows how to use it. I often open our worship services at Vestavia by quoting a passage of Scripture from Psalm 122 in verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." The Apostle Paul taught us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. God's people need each other, and public worship has been a constant blessing in my life for many, many years. I love to gather with the saints of God and sing and pray and gather around an open Bible and hear the Lord speak to us from His Word. However, under the present circumstances with the highly contagious coronavirus, our federal, state, and local governments have asked us to gather in groups, to not gather in groups of 10 or more people, and we are honoring that request. Hopefully, this will soon pass, and we will be free to worship again in our public assemblies. Would you join with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to your rich throne of grace today to thank you for your love, your mercy, for your grace. We thank you for salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the church that you have established on this earth. And now that we're not able to gather publicly to worship you, we ask that you would bless this message today, that it may be a blessing in the lives of those who tune in. Father, we pray for our country. We ask that you would please give our leaders wisdom, bless our medical profession as they endeavor to treat people and protect us from this awful virus. We ask now a blessing on your word today as we turn to the Holy Scriptures. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to notice with you this morning a passage of Scripture found in James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." In this passage in the book of James, James is not forbidding people to be engaged in commerce, in buying and selling and getting gain. That's how the business world operates. But what he is warning us about is forgetting God, not praying to God for His will to be done in our lives, for Him to take care of us. Also, James is teaching us about the brevity of life and how dependent we are on God. Notice again in verse 14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." There are 2 days in the year that we can't do anything. That's yesterday and tomorrow. I've heard for many years that yesterday is a canceled check. It's spent. It's used up. And tomorrow is a promissory note. And you and I may not live to claim it. But today, what is today? It's cash in hand. Beloved, today matters. Live today. Enjoy this day the Lord has given. Again, the psalmist David reminds us, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Go ahead and make that phone call today that you've been planning to make, or send that text, or write that thank you note, or a letter to people. Reach out to your family and your friends. Today, do it. Today, we need to eat healthy. Today, we need to exercise. Today is all we've got. And James reminds us, what is your life? He tells us, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, verse 15, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. What is God's will for us? What would please Him? Well, for those of us who understand that eternal salvation is alone by the grace of God, we understand that there is nothing we can do that would ever please God enough to purchase us a home in heaven. But we do rejoice in the glorious truth that our Heavenly Father sent His Son into this world 2,000 years ago, and His Son did His will perfectly. And we hear heaven declaring, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And everyone that Jesus Christ died for on the cross and made that one offering to the Heavenly Father on their behalf, every one of them will be in heaven because of what Jesus Christ Himself did. Our going to heaven is not based on what we do or what we don't do. But in this life, today, you and I ought to be seeking to do God's will for our lives on this earth. If you're planning to buy a car or buy a house or go on a trip, you need to pray to the Heavenly Father about that, for divine guidance. Yes, the passage here before us today is teaching us to acknowledge our dependence on our Heavenly Father. Now, there are things in this life that we know are not God's will. It is not God's will for you and me to steal. It is not God's will for us to lie. It is not God's will for us to be idolaters. If you want to look at the Ten Commandments, they will tell you what God's will is for our lives today. And we should be endeavoring to do what is pleasing to God in our moral lives. If somebody said, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to rob the bank tomorrow, you know that person really does not understand God at all. It is not God's will for people to rob banks. However, we know that people do it. So there are many things going on in our world today that are not pleasing to God, not according to His will. But you and I should be seeking to live our lives every day in a way that is in accordance with His will for our lives. Now, I want to turn with you this morning to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And we'll find in that passage some things that we know is pleasing to God. It's God's will. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name," it's very important that we recognize who is being addressed. These are God's people. They're not going to be doing these things in order to be his people, but they should be doing them because they are his people. "If my people, which are called by my name, will do four things," then God says, "I will do three things." First of all, God says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," then God says, "I'll do three things. I'll hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, I will heal their land." I want us to look at the four things that God is calling on his people to do today. And I hope we can all take this personally, internalize this truth. God wants us to humble ourselves. Pride goes before a fall. God resists the proud. How many of us want God resisting us? I don't. And so you and I need to humble ourselves. You may say, "Pastor, what is it for me to humble myself?" Well, first of all, you and I need to acknowledge that we are dependent on God for our very breath. We can't live, we can't continue life without his blessings on us. We need to humble ourselves beneath the mighty hand of God. Now, you and I, as God's children, understand that. I pray that our leaders will recognize that. I appreciate our leaders being optimistic about the future as far as overcoming this coronavirus. But the truth is that our leaders need to acknowledge our dependence on God. Last Sunday, our president, the President of the United States, declared last Sunday as a national day of prayer. Now, when you and I acknowledge God and we begin to humble ourselves before him, that's the first thing we need to do. First of all, humble ourselves, and then pray. A man cannot pray effectively until he's humbled himself. Bow before God. Acknowledge him as the creator and the sustainer of life, and recognize that we live and move and have our being in him. Let's humble ourselves, and then we can pray. We can call on God. And beloved, that's what all of us need to be doing on a regular basis. We shouldn't have to wait until some national crisis before we begin to humble ourselves and pray. But throughout history, many nations have forgotten God. In our prosperity, in all of our busyness, it is easy for us to forget God and pray that his will be done in our lives. But we would all be wise to humble ourselves and begin to pray to God on a regular basis. Pray without ceasing. Be God conscious. Understand that you and I have the ability to communicate with the Creator of the universe and find help in time of need. Humble ourselves and pray, and then seek his face, not his handout, but his face. So many of us go to God in prayer when we're in need of something, and that's okay. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. But beloved, do we just want to go to God when we need something? No. We ought to be seeking His face. A parent loves it when the child asks for something they need. But the greater blessing is when that child comes and gets in mom or dad's lap and doesn't ask for anything, just wants to be near them, just wants to look into their face. Our Heavenly Father longs for His children to seek Him, not His handout, not His blessings, but to seek Him, His fellowship. And then the Bible says we are to turn from our wicked ways. America has gotten so lax concerning sin. Beloved, we have become so familiar with sin until it's almost as though we approve of it. No, sir, the Bible is still as true today as it was when it was written. God's will for our lives is still the same today, to turn from our wicked ways. Whatever those ways are, let's turn from them. Let's repent. Let's give them up. And then God says, I will do three things. I will hear from heaven. Oh, isn't that encouraging to know that our God is awake 24/7. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. His ear is always attuned to us. And God says, I will hear from heaven. But only after you've done these four things, let's humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we could just see a spirit of revival in America where the nation begins to fall on our faces before God and acknowledge, Lord, I have sinned. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Instead of blaming everybody else, let's acknowledge that we are sinners and that we need to turn from our wicked ways. Then God says, I will hear from heaven. And then He says, I will forgive your sins. Our God is a forgiving God. His mercy is new every morning. He's long-suffering to us. And beloved, you and I need to remember that He will forgive our sins. And then God says, I will heal the land. We need God's blessings on America today in many, many ways. And we certainly need it concerning this dreadful virus that has already caused the death of thousands of people worldwide. May we, as God's children today, do these four things. Humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways. I know that's God's will for your life and my life. I don't have to wonder about what God's will is concerning those things. And then God says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sins. I will heal your land. So let's go back to James chapter 4 and close the message today. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, then buy and sell and get gain. Have we ever learned as a nation in the last few days that our plans can be totally disrupted? Great sporting events have been canceled. Conventions all over America have been canceled. Church meetings have been canceled. Our plans can be easily disrupted. So He says, whereas ye ought, ye know not what tomorrow may bring. What is your life? It is but a vapor. A vapor is something you can see over the kitchen stove as you're boiling water. It's there and then it's gone. You can look out the kitchen window in the morning and see a fog. You can go make coffee and come back and the fog is gone. That's our life. Every day that we have is a blessing from God. May we live this day to His glory and to His honor. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or we will do that. My father was a pastor, and many years ago, a funeral home in Milledgeville, Georgia, where my dad pastored, would call him and say, Brother Bryant, so-and-so has passed away, and the funeral is planned for such and such a day. Will you be here? And my dad would say, well, the Lord willing, I'll be there. Finally, the funeral director got a little aggravated with my dad, and he said, Brother Bryant, we just want to know if you're going to be here. And Dad would say, well, the Lord willing, I'll be there. My father understood, yes, I'll be there if I can get there. And beloved, you and I need to have that attitude today. We don't always have to say, well, the Lord willing, I'll do this or that. But that should be our attitude. We should recognize our dependence on a sovereign and independent God. Join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures. We thank you for reminding us that our lives on this earth are but vapors, here and then gone, and how dependent we are on you. We pray today that you will help us as your people to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, that you might hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.